This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Myers, who got it free, and here's Hugh Suter off the bench. A partial break into the blue zone, got a shot. He scores! Hugh Suter with a shorthanded goal. Beats Joel Hofer in transition, and the Canucks go up 4-1. Here's Joseph. Top of the point, passes left circle, Parayko to the goal, throw it to the back door, they score!
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Elias Pettersson's in there as well. Gets it free behind his own net for Tyler Myers. Myers up the far side. Shoots it all the way down. He scores! Back into the lineup after serving a three-game suspension. Myers scores from below his own goal line into the empty net. And it's 5-2 Canucks.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks win consecutive games for the first time since December 1st. A big win over the Blues on the road, 5-2, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. We are going to welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation in just a moment after the Canucks win in St. Louis. And as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. And Tyler Myers returns to the lineup for the Canucks, and he gave them a massive boost. And listen, I'm not going to say he was the
secret elixir.
I'm not going to say he was the best player on the ice tonight, but if you name Tyler Myers the first star, I'd say that is more than fair. I thought he was terrific tonight. And Mike from North Van texted, Myers coming off suspension, having perhaps the strongest game of the year. Great to see him step back in the lineup when the team needs him the most.
St. Louis media picked him third star.
Yeah, he should be there,
and,
honestly.
And Quinn Hughes not among them.
No, so, right. He was their best defenseman tonight.
According to St. Louis media, he was the best D-man tonight.
And Randeep, I mean, it was a confidence that he was playing with as well. We were kind of laughing about, you know, that he was stick-handling guys. He was turning on a dime, working his edges, making quick little passes in his own zone. And, you know, sometimes you get a bit nervous when Myers does those things, but he was outstanding tonight, and so were the Canucks with their victory over the Blues.
I'm going to say it, guys. You know what it was? It was a statement game from Tyler Myers because of the whole fiasco with Edmonton and all that. But listen, it was a strong game for Tyler Myers. I thought, you know, you look at the ice time, you look at the play, a couple of points. He's just shy of 23 minutes in this game. But there was one moment in the third period where the forecheck is coming his way from the St. Louis Blues, and he basically dangles two or three guys, you know, works the angles perfectly, makes the little outlet pass to one of his wingers on the left-hand side, and in that moment you're saying, all right, you know, this guy's feeling it tonight. He's confident. He's happy to be back, but a strong game all over. You know, five shots on goal as well. He had a couple of block shots, so this kind of reminded me of maybe not as mean and nasty, but there was certainly some Tyler Myers, like playoff Tyler Myers to his game today, where, hey, when he's good, he can be a solid, solid player that gets in the way of individuals. You know, he's tough to play against in front of the net, and every now and then he can add some offense as well.
A hair below 23 minutes tonight. A goal, an assist, obviously, plus three, six shot attempts. Again, a box score filling evening. And you just see, like I mentioned, the 23 minutes, right? It's just such a huge boon. There's Quinn Hughes, 24-25. There's Filip Hronek, 22-10. And suddenly it's like, hey, I have all three guys there. The minutes just feel okay, and everyone's got the right kind of role. And we saw tonight kind of a dispersal of the wealth. And suddenly the game just looked a little bit easier for the defense.
Well, that's the thing with, you know, Hronek on the second pair. If I understand you have one of the best, if not the best pairing when he's there with Quinn Hughes, but if he's away from that, it just provides a little bit more balance. You have more confidence in another player making plays on a second pairing in Filip Hronek, and just provides balance in the top four. We understand the third pairing is going to be a bit of a work in progress, so to speak, right? Carson Soucy played 16 and change. Elias Pettersson was just under 12 minutes. But the top four, there's a recipe for success there. So, you know, do you use Hronek and Hughes as a superpower? Whenever you need them, whenever you're chasing a game, whenever it's late in the game, maybe it's a tie game, and you're saying, hey, all right, we need that goal. We need to tilt the rink. That can be used, but I think that having that balance, you mentioned the times, you mentioned how they all look pretty solid out there. I think it took a while to get here for this team to really approach Hronek as being the dominant puck carrier on the second pair, but there is a road to success there. You're not going to see it all the time, but it just provides balance, and everybody just kind of fits in perfectly well. So we'll see how long that goes, but so far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, ultimately the question from this game is going to come be for me is, can this truly be a building off point? You can't get on a streak, without winning two consecutive games. They finally have done that. Can they gain some forward momentum now, right? And I think that's the thing we're all waiting to see from this team. They have one streak over three wins in a row, and that was earlier this season. It's been really hard for them to get on any sort of a roll. And, you know, we were kind of joking about this earlier, but I think the best distraction for this team to get away from the distractions is being distracted by a winning streak. Because sometimes totally. When you fall into winning, you forget things, you feel better, and perhaps that can be your focus, right? And I really hope this can be that, you know, initial step into doing that here.
Well, the first step is seeing that victory, picking up those 2 points, and then all of a sudden you're seeing smiles on the faces, right? You look on the opposite bench, the St. Louis Blues are having their own existential crisis, so the long faces were on the opposition's bench, but you're right. You know, you go away from home, you have maybe a little bit of pressure off because you're not in the fishbowl that is Vancouver. We understand, we live and breathe in this market, we understand it's all hockey all the time. But you beat the best team in the league, you go on the road, you take care of business against a St. Louis Blues team that you initiated right off the bat. You understand that they've been starting slow in games, and the fact that DeBrus makes that play, and Hughes makes an excellent chip play to attack off transition, and all of a sudden you've got that confidence, and the guys are playing just a different level. You can see, like, you know, their shoulders are back, they're confident again. And you got to continue that against Nashville. In Vancouver, when Vancouver's played Nashville twice this year, it's been Nashville who's walked away from those games with the victories. But, you know, heading into that market, heading into that city, this seems like a different Vancouver Canucks team. One of the things we've talked about is, all right, one game is fine. How do you back it up? Well, they've put together two strong efforts, and now you hope that, you know, anytime anybody goes to Nashville, they're usually in a pretty good mood. But with this team, there seems to be a bit of a smile on their face, and that's exactly what you need. Because after that game, guys, you know, Dallas, we know what they are. They're going to be a very tough team to beat. And the game on Sunday, the Detroit Red Wings are taking care of business ever since Todd McClellan took over behind the bench. They took care of the LA Kings tonight as well. So there's no easy ones coming up, but all you can do is take care of the business in front of you, and that's exactly what Vancouver's done over the last two games.
You mentioned, the early goal, and they got kind of going 3 minutes in so they can play the script a certain way. But there was a moment there, 1-1, goal gets called off. I was curious how you saw that moment there with Holloway and Lankanen.
Yeah, I saw the explanation. I've seen the rule. I thought it was going to be a good goal, just based on the fact that, you know, when we saw the player with Dylan Holloway being kind of driven towards the net, it was Quinn Hughes had an active role on that. So, I saw the explanation from the league, which was pretty, let's be honest, pretty generic in the way they described it. But me and Batch were talking that over even after the fact in the intermission, that we were kind of surprised to see that one being held off the scoreboard. But for Vancouver, it worked out well. But I certainly thought it was going to be put on the board.
I think what a lot of people are kind of wondering about is the Canucks' big star players, right? Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, their names have been out there in trades. They take turns every week being the center of the trade talks, it seems like, around the National Hockey League. JT Miller gets a goal, Pettersson gets an assist. How'd you think the two centers played tonight?
Yeah, I thought with JT early on in that game especially, it was, you know, he comes out there, you can see that Braden Schenn wanted the fight. He was ticked off the way the team had been playing, and, you know, he's been talking about the last three games. So power forward versus power forward, he obliges. But, you know, outside of that, I thought with JT, the power play looked comfortable, guys, on that 2-0 goal that Garland scored. And a lot of that was Pettersson and Miller kind of just slowing it down. It felt like a comfortable, confident power play. Part of that is Vancouver. Part of that is St. Louis. We know where their PK percentage sits, but credit to the team that scored there. And then, of course, we've seen that, you know, that breakaway goal that JT's been able to score a number of times in his career. Heads-up play by Quinn. And often we sometimes question the quick wrister by JT on those breakaways. He froze Jordan Binnington. Binnington had no idea it was coming. So I liked, the offensive playmaking and the goal scoring is one thing, but the fact that early on in this game, he brought the energy, kind of lifted his team. I like that from JT Miller. And for Elias Pettersson, the one assist, guys, is nice, and he subbed 15 minutes on the night as far as ice time, but 7 shots on goal, right? And this is a player, how many times have we often said, hey, guys, like, pucks through. Get pucks through. Move your feet through the neutral zone, whether it's on offense or defense, and initiate in the offensive zone. And there was one opportunity where, you know, he shoots from the left-hand side and Linus Karlsson's attacking the middle of the ice. It wasn't a shot to score. It was a shot to set up his teammate. Karlsson can't beat Binnington at that time. But, you know, that's a good play. I like the fact that he's being active there. And then later on in this game, he's finding those soft areas. He's trying to pick the corner and Hofer in the second period as well later on. So we saw a little bit more active play from Elias Pettersson. He's got to continue that, obviously, you know, getting those shots on the scoreboard and in the box score is great. But I like the fact that he was moving his feet today and he was engaged offensively and defensively. You got to keep that going here. So for the star centers, all that noise that's going on, but this was a step in the right direction where not only did the team win, but they had a contributing role.
He gets an assist, too, on the second Garland goal.
That's right.
In front of the net and is able to tip that puck on Binnington before Binnington gloves it, and obviously Garland's able to sweep it through. But just in general, like, Garland needed a goal. Miller needed a goal. Suter needed a goal. They a bunch of players with a bunch of slumps, they managed to knock them off, and now you can maybe have some confidence here going into Nashville.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what it is about Joel Hofer, but Pugh Suter loves playing that guy. I'm sure when that goalie switch was made, but he scored 4 goals in 5 games against Hofer in his career, so he was probably doing a little bit of a fist bump as Hofer was taking the crease. But that's huge for the confidence, guys. And you just rattled off those names. Now, you know, you're feeling a little bit better if you're Pugh Suter. You go 23 games without a goal, your confidence is way, way down there. And I thought even though Jake DeBrusk didn't get a goal tonight, that play on that Connor Garland first goal, like, you don't have any goals in the last 9 games, but that's a big play just to chip the puck out, get it to your captain who does the rest. So I thought even the guys that didn't score, even the guys that are still kind of in that scoring drought, they did some things today where you can at least walk away from that. You get the 2 points and you're feeling confident about your game.
We briefly touched on the defense, but obviously, they break up Hughes Hronek. And look, I know some of it's situational and everything like that, but would you keep it as is and continue with the deployment the way it is?
Yeah, I would keep it this way because I think having Hughes and Hronek on separate pairs just provides a little bit of balance and it gives it, you know, you've got essentially two-thirds of the game, more than two-thirds of the game that you're confident and comfortable with, you know, puck carriers on both pairings, right? And I thought Tyler Myers' game today spoke to the confidence in which he's playing with when he's playing alongside of Quinn Hughes. So, you know, that pairing, obviously with Quinn, it's great. But with Tyler Myers, if he plays like that, you can be very, very happy with. And on the second pair, you know, it's an interesting thing because Forbert, he's not going to wow you and he's not going to dazzle you with his skill, but he's just sitting back there. He's a defensive player where Hronek can be a little bit more assertive if he wants to be, if he grows in confidence and he kind of figures his game out. So I would keep it the way it is, but situationally, within game, if you're chasing a game or if you've got a tied game late and you're saying, all right, you're going to go with all the, you know, the big dogs on the ice at one time, as of right now, you know, Bick, I don't mind keeping it the way it is, but you have that, you know, superpower option ready if you need it. And listen, you know, after a couple of games, if it doesn't work or it falls a little stale, you can always switch it up. But I think it's working right now.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we saw here from the Canucks was not only, you know, solid overall team play and defensive play, but also their D-men, but a strong performance on Kevin Lankinen and net. I know he gave up a couple goals, but he made a couple of huge saves. There was one in the second period
on Falk,
which was a big one. There was also one on Joseph driving the net, and he made another really big one in the first period. And, you know, making those key big saves in certain moments allowed the Canucks to be up 3-0.
For sure, and I thought that second period particularly, you mentioned there a couple of the saves. It was a glove save on Kevin Falk. He didn't grab it, but it was, you know, that was a big moment, right? The Canucks kind of lost their shape there for a second, and they were able to free up that area. And Kevin Falk, that's a dated football reference. Justin Falk stepped in there and took that wrister. It's Super Bowl season, guys. That's Kevin Falk season, right?
I know Blake Bolden was on the broadcast. Doesn't mean Brandon Bolden was playing. There we go, with the Patriots running backs there.
Hey, man, I've been listening to too much football these days. But you have that moment, and you score at that point, and it might be a little bit of a different scenario. It turns into a 2-1 game, and you have some confidence if you're St. Louis. But no, he shuts the door. JT Miller ends up getting the power play goal after that. But I thought Kevin Lankinen, especially, you know, not having much to do in the first period, He's thrown into a bit of the deep end there at certain stretches, especially with the four-minute, you know, penalty kill that they had, and there's a couple of high-profile saves there. He's confident right now, and against St. Louis, he's never lost in his career, so he feels good against this team. But I thought when they needed him to make the big save, he made it. And credit to Holloway on that 3-1 goal. That was a big league shot. That's a 92-mile-per-hour shot on the power play. Sometimes you get just beaten with a really solid shot. Other than that, Kevin Lankinen looked really, really strong, and he's confident. You want to get him a game at some point, of course, over whether he plays. I'd like to see him against Dallas, but, you know, is that next game against Nashville one you can give to Demko where you're saying you don't need to give it to him because it's not a back-to-back, but if you also want to get Demko some games, is that the one you look at?
Yeah, like Johnny Bubla says to our text inbox, we really need to let Lanks cook, and we'll see if they do. Randeep, great stuff, man, calling the game alongside Batch, and we look forward to chatting with you on Wednesday when the Canucks continue their road trip in Nashville against the Preds.
All right, boys, have a good one, and we'll chat soon.
You got it. That is Randeep Janda, and that was your game review. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet Honda's 2025 Civic, Accord, and CR-V hybrids. Visit bchonda.ca. Canucks victorious tonight, 5-2 over the St. Louis Blues. And, Bick, a lot of people on the text inbox are very excited. Van City Zavid in Toronto says, that's two in a row. We're going for three on Wednesday. The season turnaround game. Heard it here first. So some excitement from Canucks fans and optimism that this is going to be a turnaround, Bick, after winning consecutive games for the first time since December 1st.
I forgot how to do this when they've won two in a row, right?
Yeah, like it's more fun when they win.
That's a 25-game stretch here.
It's a long time, man. It's a quarter. It's almost a third of the season.
Yeah. It's huge. I guess tonight would be 26 games.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, but like 27 games is a third of the season.
Large sample size. And look, they've allowed the playoff chase to get a bit more uncomfortable than it needs to be. I think in that stretch, Calgary's picked up 2 points on them in that time. But like, given the quality, and if you play to a certain standard, that like there should be a gap between you, Calgary, and certainly what we saw from St. Louis tonight, right? So it's still hanging in the balance. You're now 4 points back of LA, even though they have two games in hand on you. But all you can do is string together wins. And, like, there's still not a huge overwhelming, like, extension of faith coming from this side of the microphone of, like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to go into Nashville. But now suddenly it's like you get a little bit of a momentum here. You get some guys that are scoring that you need to score. And it looked far functionally different these last two games.
Okay, are they going to string it together? I don't know. And based on how the season has gone, I can excuse some pessimism and some cynicism.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, right? If you want to be optimistic about it, the positive was they followed up a good game against the Capitals with another very strong game. It wasn't just like they went on the road, had a bit of a back and forth game, found a way
to win. Flying to St. Louis, this is solid.
And the Blues, of course, I mean, they're middling. But they're a 500 team. The Canucks are a 500 team too, just a little bit above 500. So they've been very similar this year, so you can't scoff at it. We saw them lose against the Sabres on home ice, but this was a strong team effort. A lot of individuals played well. And the biggest thing for me is this was an identity game. This is like how the Canucks played last year at their best, right? Low event game, but they generated more than the opposition.
Scoring early,
taking a lead, adding to their lead, being dangerous on the power play, right? Creating some looks, being very good in their own end, getting saves. Like there was a lot of positives. It was truly a game you can envision building on. The reason a lot of people are skeptical is because we've seen some positives to only have the rug from pulled from under you again, right? And when that's happened, it creates some hesitancy. You know what I mean? So I get it. I understand. But that's
what built upon poor land in the past.
They have. And again, like the game on Wednesday is massive because if you make it three in a row, okay, now you're on a streak. Like you're actually on a win streak now if you win on Wednesday.
You make it three in a row, suddenly everybody's talking about, okay, back in the playoff spot, all these things. Hey, what's worked in three games here? Why are they trending better? You notice I haven't brought up trade?
Yeah.
You notice I haven't brought up drama? Like all these things start to matter because winning matters. Winning matters more than everything else. And even if you want to get down to a stage of like, hey, come closer to March 7th, maybe they do explore all these things, deadlines, pushes, action, all that. You know what helps your case? Winning.
Well, Canucks Quest says winning can solve everything.
Right? It really does. And that's like we've sat here on these post game shows, like, what do you do? And like we've sat here and said, like,
win
hockey games. Like at the very least, like this is I know people are eager to be like, oh, it's over. Just go win hockey games.
Yeah.
And I know it sucks to reduce things to like one game at a time. Right now, they got to do that. Just win hockey games. It paints a different picture for yourself. Even if you don't believe in all these things, the easiest solution is just win hockey games.
Yeah.
And it provides you options.
It changes everything. Yeah. It really does. Will from Nanaimo says, it's a good night when Quinn Hughes doesn't need to be their best forward and defenseman.
I'm telling you right now, that might be the best text of the night.
It's a great text, Will from Nanaimo. We'll delve into a lot of that as the show goes on. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break, and let's go to Langley, where we have Don on the line. Don, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 5-2 win over the Blues?
Oh, hey, is this me?
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, okay. It's actually Don, but that's okay. Hey, you guys are bang on all your points. I think it's basically a double addition by subtraction with Desharnais out and DPD in there. Tough break, but you know what? The kid doesn't stick handle a hand grenade. Lankanen, he's got to play. Got to play him. And then Garley could have had 8. I mean, it was actually an enjoyable game to watch tonight.
Yeah, it truly was, Don. Thanks for calling in. And I mean, and Garland was terrific tonight too, right? I mean, scores the first couple goals of the game here tonight. And I think the thing about his game was not only him, you know, obviously being good offensively, but he was terrific defensively tonight too, especially on the PK on number of sequences. It was a real all-around performance from Connor Garland tonight.
Yeah, he was excellent. That's why he was named the game's first star by St. Louis. By the way, it was Garland, Suter, and Tyler Myers, your stars this evening. But yeah, like he was buzzing this whole night. He has 11 shot attempts. And like we've seen Connor Garland take a lot of shot attempts, and we're like, oh, how valuable was that? Like as the caller mentioned, like he could have had 8. I don't know what 8, but like, yeah, he was active and he was dangerous the whole evening. And that's what you want to say, like darting into the right spots, crafting your way into the dangerous areas. Like I he was excellent tonight.
Well, and echoing Don's point on DPD, Renfrew Marco says DPD bringing the extra little bit of stability on the back end really does wonders.
It's just like a small little bump in some puck moving.
Mm.
It was Ian Cole and Nikita Zadorov last year. And this year it's been Juulsen more often. It's been Desharnais. It's been Forbert, who I think gets lumped in sometimes, but he's one of the newer faces. We're just talking about like a minor bump. They don't need like another Quinn Hughes on the back end. It'd be nice, of course, but like the level of mobility that's required is like very, very small. And DPD here has provided like just enough, and you just see the pressure valve kind of get let go a couple of times, and he's not been perfect.
Yeah, he was -1, and you know what, like we'll break the goal down later, but this is something that has been a problem for Canucks defensemen at times.
A lot of people play a role in this goal,
yes,
including both Pettersons,
yes,
but we'll get to it all in
it wasn't perfect
further on.
But
like,
yes,
a player in his second game, like I don't expect
of course not.
To get some like everything perfect,
but he doesn't get, how often did you see him be under duress in his own zone?
It's just a little bit of a tick. So like, credit to him. We push back at times. We're like, I don't know what the young guys. You know what? Credit to him. He's done the job.
Honestly, played 12 minutes. Like these 12 minutes were better than a lot of 12 minutes we see from Desharnais.
Yeah.
This year. So I totally get it. And I think that's a fair point. Let's take one more phone call before we hit the break. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to North Van where we have Stu on the line. Stu, thanks for calling in, buddy. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Oh, gentlemen, I hope you're both well. And I feel like the old lady in the Titanic, where it's been 84 years since the Canucks have strung together. I think I had about like 20 fewer gray hairs the last time these guys put together 2 wins. And hearing you guys say that it's been, what, 26 games? That's actually wild to think that it's been that long and we are still in the wild card playoff race. Like, that is just mind-blowing. So I don't know if it's just a factor of other teams kind of treading water and whatnot, but that's shocking. And, you know, we're quickly approaching the 50-game mark of the season. And, I mean, you know, everything aside, whatever people's views are and what's going on with potential trades, if they want us to make the playoffs or whatnot, it was just nice to watch some quality hockey tonight and this past weekend against the Capitals.
And I mean, tonight was one of those games where, you know, Saturday was the Quinn Hughes and Lankinen show, but tonight it was one of those rounded Canuck victories that we saw 50 times last year. And also shout out to Kevin Lankinen picking up an assist tonight. I'm not sure if that's been mentioned, but that was amazing to see. And I mean, it's one of those things where I think the best word I could sum up my feeling tonight after this game is longing. The sense of you see tonight and then you think about what's happened the last couple of months. You think about the, you know, that 3-goal blown lead to Seattle, the fact we've lost to Nashville twice, all the distractions going on. And then you see tonight and you think like, boys, this is, we all know you can do it. You've shown us. And I'm hoping that this isn't a blip because, you know, we heard from Quinn Hughes earlier about how he feels like this is on him. And, you know, of course, being the nicest guy in the organization, he takes it upon his shoulders even more. I mean, he must be able to, you know, I don't know, like deadlift 1,000 pounds at the gym because he's been carrying this team for, you know, 48 games. But to hear that speaks volumes about him. And if we do end up making the playoffs through all this craziness that's happened this season, and there's still a lot to go and things could happen, but if we make it, it's going to be him dragging us across the finish line like a broken truck on two wheels because he's a guy who never will, you know, he's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. And I think if anything, that can be the inspiration that we need. And I mean, you saw tonight, Tyler Myers returning. He had a solid game. I mean, Connor Garland got back to his usual stuff. And Miller just scoring a goal. It's like, that's what we know this boy. It's like, I feel it's almost like as Canuck fans, we've all collectively taken crazy pills in the sense of we almost forget what they can do. And when you see it, it's like, that's right. Like, I want us to actually show the other 31 teams that, like, we're not going to just go away. We're not going to cut off our nose to spite our face. Like, if we go down, let's go down swinging. Hopefully this is the start of something. You know, playoffs aren't a lost cause. Maybe winning the division is a little bit too ambitious, but let's at least have some fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. It's been months.
Yeah.
Since I can say I've had fun watching this team. So I'll hang up. You guys, thanks for taking my call. And I'm going to be falling asleep with a smile on my face instead of, you know, soaking my pillows in tears. So take care, guys.
Hey, thanks, dude. Appreciate the phone call and the thoughts. And I mean, it's been way too few and way too far between as far as them having these performances and putting them together. And, you know, we'll see ultimately where it leads, but a lot of encouraging things happen here tonight, Bick. And I think that's the takeaway. And you need to do good things before you start winning games, and that's kind of where you're at. You want to keep it going because if you do, I mean, yeah, the mood's going to change in a hurry. Winning's the cure to pretty much every sports ailment you can imagine.
Yeah, and it's the best feeling, man. It's the best. And I'm not like all ills are cured, but just winning two in a row just takes a little bit of the pressure off. And and that's all you can do is just try to tap into that valve and just have that pressure just get relieved a bit.
100%. Hans says, after that call, I want to run through 9 walls for Hughes.
There you go.
Andrew White Rock, he says, Blues were awful. Keep it real. I mean, yeah, you know, the Blues were not great. The Canucks were better. But here's the thing. The Canucks have played some bad teams that haven't had been very good, and they played poorly. So, and they took care of business, a strong win. Can they turn it into 3 in Nashville against the Preds on Wednesday? Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. More of your reaction, plus the Canucks head coach's thoughts, and we will play Patrick Alvin's discussion on Amazon Prime. He did join the broadcast. We'll get to all that as the show goes on. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Puck comes loose to Radek Foxa. Foxa to center for Fowler. Left wing for Holloway trying to make a move around Myers, who got it free. And here's Pugh Suter off the bench. A partial break into the blue zone. Got a shot. He scores. Pugh Suter with a shorthanded goal. Beats Joel Hofer in transition. And the Canucks go up 4-1 with 6:24 left in the second.
The Canucks attack with speed, shorthanded, as the Blues just give away the puck here. Good play by Tyler Myers. A little backhand pass to nobody, really, it seemed like. But Pugh Suter picks up speed in the neutral zone, settles the puck, and then a quick snapshot for his first goal in 23 games. His drought is over as well. And the Vancouver Canucks looked like they were losing momentum as that double minor went against them. But here, Pugh Suter wrestles the momentum back and makes it 4-1.
Canucks come through with consecutive victories, beating the St. Louis Blues 5-2 on the road. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free 1-888-275-0650. We'll get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Patrick Alvin spoke with the Prime broadcast. We'll get that to you as well, plus post-game reaction from the Canucks in their victory over the Blues. And I know fans are also excited about how they played tonight and a bunch of individual performances. It was also really bump the slump night for a number of Canucks in this game here. And before the game, Brendan Batchelor on X tweeted out all the slumps for Canucks players. Suter coming into the game, no goals in his last 23 games. Miller, no goals in his last 9 games. Garland, no goals in his last 8 games. Well, Garland scored, Miller scored, and Suter scored, bumping the slump, and Brendan Batchelor gets an assist for putting it out there and getting those guys to show up and get goals here tonight. But if you're trying to build the argument or feel better about getting going, it's guys getting hot, right? And guys who haven't scored getting going again. The Canucks have been really anemic offensively. And as much as, yes, they haven't generated enough scoring chances, they've had a lot of issues, we can talk about coaching, this and that, they shouldn't be scoring at such a low rate that they have. Like, there should be, if they play some proper hockey again, which they did tonight, some positive regression with some of their scoring. And you hope that that's what happens here if they're going to turn these two wins into anything that's going to be anything resembling a longer winning streak or something along those lines. Like, you don't even necessarily have to win 5 in a row. You can even go on a streak where you're picking up points in like 8 out of 9 or something. You're like, but that's the type of role you got to get on.
Just go 7-3 in 10 games
or something, right? Like, or pick a couple points, yeah, in as OT losses.
6-3-1.
You need to get some of that positive momentum going again, right? And the best way to do so is getting guys going. And tonight was a night you hope got a few guys going, especially Garland, Miller, and Suter, who had long scoring slumps, especially Suter. I mean, his first goal in 24 games.
Again, so you mentioned that 23-game stretch there, right? So JT had 18 in 23, in 22 in that stretch.
Yeah.
Brock had 17 points in 23. Connor Garland, 10 in 23. Jake DeBrusk, 9 in 23. Kiefer Sherwood, 7. Haven't even mentioned Elias Pettersson yet. 7 in that stretch. Pugh Suter, 5 points in that 23-game stretch. Like, it got bad, and it got pretty difficult. And even if you just want to shorten it down to, say, a 8-9 game stretch there, this team was struggling to score goals, and we've chatted so much about offensive philosophy and all these different things, and bottom line, they just were not scoring. Simply put, and like JT Miller had 5 points here in this recent stretch. Like, they just needed to start scoring goals. And we got this text here, 650-650. Did Bruff's question on Sunday night save the season? And I'm not pinning it to that, but you know, Rick Tocchet mentioned it 1,000,000%. We defer to the points so often, yeah. And look what happened tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal comes off of a rush, but yeah, a lot of it was more from the inside tonight.
Totally different. Totally different.
Makes a big difference. Makes a big, big difference. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, and we'll get to the phone boards coming up in a moment as well. 604-280-0650.
but a lot of reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox. I'll start things off here, Bick, and you take over for a few. But this one says, could a long wing streak change the Canucks' plans on trading Miller and or Pettersson, or is that pretty much a foregone conclusion? That's Paul texting in. I mean, listen, you never know how these things are going to go, right? And I think these guys' names have been out there enough that maybe a winning streak doesn't change that. And I think even if they win, we'll still hear some rumors here and there. But the more you win, the happier people are.
How it looks, I think, would matter more than if they get it done. But if it looks like tonight,
and they do it consistently, and if those guys get going scoring-wise,
suddenly you can go to people and say, like, you know what? If you're back to the way you were, we can go back to the way we built this.
Yeah.
But I'll go back. Like, winning matters.
Yeah.
If you want less drama, play to the standard of, A, what the team, the media, the fans believe you can. But also play to the level you're being paid at.
Yeah, and also, like, it has to be more than two wins. You know?
Yes.
Like,
no, of course.
It's got to be.
Course.
You have until the trade deadline, right? If you keep winning, you stave off big decisions. But it has to be substantial, and it has to be impressive. What else are you seeing?
From now till the trade deadline, what is it? 12 games? So, again, it's not a huge runway.
Yeah,
but all you can do is try to piece together a solid month.
You get on a winning streak. Usually people don't like breaking up winning streaks. That's your best bet. If these guys want to keep it together, that's what you have to do.
Mike from North Van. Myers coming off the suspension, having perhaps the strongest game of the year. Great to see him stepping up when we needed it most. Jason in Edmonton. What do you know? Two in a row, looking like the team we had last season. What took so long? I'll believe it again if we sweep the road trip. A much better effort. Ben from Dunbar. What a win. Sound defensive play pays off. I didn't know how much we missed Myers over the last three games. Quinn's unbelievable. I'm back on the bandwagon. And an unsigned text here. Petey with seven shots. Didn't know. I know he didn't go nuclear, but if he starts shooting again, the points will come.
And this one from Sterling in Calgary. That was a great positive effort and one of the best detail games I've seen all season. Players are making clever and smart, solid plays and combining that with skating and playing hard. Great sign. Looking forward. Now they need to go and show the Preds who's the better team. Sterling in Calgary texting in as well. All right, let's go to the phone boards. 604-280-0650. And I'll start things off in Nelson, where we have Al on the line. Al, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here after a 5-2 Canucks win?
Well, first off, fellas, you know, you guys work so hard in these post-game shows, and it must be so nice to have the good vibes going again. I know it's a small sample, but yeah, you guys, it must feel good, eh, Blitz, to get a win here?
Oh, 100%, man. Listen, it's so much more fun talking after a victory and talking to people that are happy as opposed to people, you know, just not being enthused and very angry.
Yeah, I bet. Not just the game results, but so much going on in the background and so much of the noise. It's must get hard sometimes. Anyways, kudos. Really, I'm glad we're all able to get together for a good positive win tonight. Two quick things. You know, it went healthy as is. I think this should be our top six for the D on the back end right now. I think Pettersson, I saw something early on in the season, maybe in camp really, but there's something there, and that kind of bite gnarled grit to his game and the ability to make a pass and just looks confident out there. Now he's starting to shoot the puck. So it's like, I really think you got to give this guy a few games. And I love these pranks tonight. I love how Tuck and mix them up a little bit and try to do a few different things. And you could tell by splitting up Roenick and Huggy there, it was we were a little more fluid and kind of better on matchups. And also just, you know, this is going to be a common theme tonight, but I'm starting to wonder if this team, as being compared to last year so much, you know, throughout the first half of the season, like, what if this team is actually better team than last year? Because, you know, last year we glided, guys. Like, you know, we had long runs where it's like there's almost no adversity. We're just winning games and all of a sudden going through streaks, but other teams were losing. I remember I was pitching myself towards the middle. I was like, I don't know. It just didn't feel real sometimes, you know. So let's just hope this adversity, we can manage to find a way to get through this and get into the playoffs. Maybe it might result in a better showing, and maybe this team will be better than we thought after all. Thanks, boys.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. That is Al and Nelson, Vic. And I mean, ultimately, it changes the mood so much, right? Like, if you get some of the results and you see the team play the way they're capable of playing, and I think a common theme is, like, this kind of looked like the team we've seen in the past. This looked like the team we saw last year. Like, this looked like the type of road win that they would have last season. They go out there and play a strong game. They get early goals, get out to a lead, get a couple key saves, but just look in control and look like a team that just is superior on the evening. That's just something that we haven't seen enough of, right? And it's been fleeting, right? And I get the people that are like, hey, you can't get too excited because how many times have we seen a great performance followed up by not so good performances here, right? But there are a lot of encouraging facts because you saw the things that you wanted to see again.
It all hangs in the balance, but it, you know, just from the tone of people and Al's, you know, calling in saying like, hey, just sounds different. And yeah, like I imagine fans have gone from fumbling to find a lighter in the darkness to seeing a light in the distance. You're like, oh, okay, I can go in that direction. And that's what two wins is going to do for you. It doesn't solve any of the ills. Yeah. You still got a lot of work to do to get to the light, but at least you see a vision of like, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Yes.
Now, can you just repeat it over the course of the next 3 weeks here?
Yeah, and that's what we're all kind of waiting to see here from this hockey team. Felix from Richmond says, I stay angry and unenthused so that when they inevitably lose again, I will not be disappointed. The Vancouver Eeyores. So you can keep that mentality. I know Bick doesn't like that mentality, but you know that's how some people do feel. Bick is
you
Bick
want to go off a rant? No, just compete, man. Just keep battling for
it. I get it. Maggie texts in and says, I don't know why people are saying EP40 wasn't shooting enough. He led the team with 7 shots tonight and put the, emoji out there as well, you know, holding the chin. He's 7 shots. I'm not going to sit here and say incredible Patterson performance.
No, it wasn't.
Amazing. Had an assist. He was dangerous offensively. He had some chances. His ice time again, Bick. It's not significantly high.
It was 14-24 for contrast. Pew Suter played 19-30. Now, that line was also pretty good, too.
They were.
But 5 extra minutes for Pew Suter over Elias Pettersson. Mm-hmm. But, so, hey, look, say this. If you want more minutes, maximize those 14.
Yeah, and
so 7 shots on goal. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Just to be fair. And people still are derisive. This one says more like EP 40%. So you're getting that still, right?
You know what? That's actually pretty funny. Well done.
This one's messaging from Butcherias, Mexico. Great win tonight. Need the consistency, but I still feel like we won't feel right until Demko is back to his abilities. When he's on his game, the Canucks have that extra confidence. Hope all is well back home. Brendan from North Van, who's in Bucharest in Mexico.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Enjoy the sunshine. I mean, it's been really nice and sunny here, just not warm, but the sunshine has been incredible, I will say. But yes, I mean, I'd love to be somewhere warm at this time of year. Are you going away? Are you going somewhere during the
Four Nations? I'm taking time off, but I'm not going anywhere.
Nowhere hot? Okay.
No.
I'm staying around. I'll be here. I'll be hanging around. All right. Before we go back to the phone boards, what else are you seeing on the text inbox, Bick?
This one from Sterling. Other than the Myers' usual clumsy penalty that gave the Blues life, but Myers, real good skating and solid game tonight. Let's not get too excited. Unfortunately, there's more bad than good from Myers on a nightly basis. And Gerbs from Quitlam, Comet Giraffe out there playing with a cigar in his mouth. This one, honestly, that was the best our defense looked all season, splitting Hughes and Roenick up while Susie and DPD made solid plays. And final one here, Rachel from Vancouver, a goalie point, shorthanded goal. Killed a double minor, points for 8 different players, a fight within the first 3 minutes of the game, plus Quinn Hughes being good. He even gets a goal against called off. Tonight was eventful, and let's make it 3 in a row. That is from Rachel in Vancouver.
Yes, let's hope so.
You know, when you break it down like that, like bullet points, and a Gordie Howe hat trick taken away.
I know.
It was an eventful game, yeah.
It was very eventful. A lot of things happened tonight. A lot to break down. We'll break down the goals coming up in a little bit as well. But yeah, a lot to get to. Let's go back to the phone boards. Let's go to Port Moody, where we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 5-2 win?
Hey, guys. I thought the Amazon broadcast is pretty good. Nice seeing Pronger up there. Mm-hmm. Also good to get like sometimes a neutral game call, maybe put some things in perspective for some of the homers. Thought Hughes again, like just unreal. I really think at his age 25, he's still growing into the game a bit. I think he has a real chance to be a Scott Niedermayer type game manager. And when I say that, I mean, when he's on the ice for 30 minutes, it's tilted. There's no worry. There's no panic. You know, 30 minutes a night, 27 minutes a night that the puck's going one way. I thought the Miller fight was great. One of the things, you know, I think it maybe woke the boys up a bit. I don't know why the fight went down. It just right off the draw. I didn't see something, but I don't, you know, I think it wakes the team up a bit, and then they just get going. And it's good to have players like that. Like a guy, you know, obviously like Tom Wilson, you know, first shift he's on the ice, he's banging the glass, and it's waking players up. And then the goalie interference, I thought it was a good call. I thought, was it Holloway that went through the crease?
Yeah.
He went to the paint on his own.
Yeah.
He didn't get pushed into the paint. Once he was in the paint, Hughes made the contact. But Holloway had the lane on his own and went to that area. So I like the call, no goal. What I don't like is the penalty after. I don't think teams should be punished for trying to make sure the call on the ice is right. You know, it's just one of those things where you want the calls to be right. So if it's a 50-50 call, it's a toss-up, you don't know. You don't know how Toronto's going to see it or whoever making the call, and then you're in the box. I don't think the game needs to have a two-minute minor for wanting to make sure the call is right. And then I like DPD. He's 6'3", 210. He looks the part. He needs more games, maybe, you know, more ice to get a bigger sample size to see what he is. But these are the type of players and draft picks that we've been starving for. Okay, like is he a third rounder 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we need these guys coming in every year. Not all of them are going to work out. Some may play 40 games, some might play 400, but DPD looks the part, and they got to make sure he's okay. And then on Pettersson, solid game. I don't want to trade him until the Four Nations is over. I want to see him playing with better players. I don't know who his winger is. Who in the league? No, I'm not talking on the Canucks, but who in the league do you think would complement this guy the best? I want to see how Sweden uses him. I want to see who he's playing with and how they deploy him. Because the NHL, you can get into the flow of grinding games out. And I don't know what Tuck is saying to these guys. I know he was with Carlson, Hoglander tonight, and he did have a solid defensive game. Do you think his role was to grind it out tonight? He still had 7 shots. I just want to see who he plays really well with. And another thing I was thinking with Pettersson is, what if, like, I don't know, maybe call up Adam Oates. We saw it with Luke Shen. He was out of the league. He was in the minors. He worked with Oates, and now he's played an extra 6 years. We saw Mark Scheifele be a solid 65-point guy, works with Adam Oates, point-per-game guy, Jets one of the best teams in the league. I think Pettersson needs a guy like Oates or somebody outside the organization he can lean on, because it's got to be draining, man. And the thing with talking,
I don't know
how good of a people person he is. I think talk is great. If you want to sit around the campfire and talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Flyers, I think that's awesome. But I don't know how well talk it is actually managing these players on a day-to-day basis. And it sucks because talk is an awesome coach.
Yeah, but, I hear you. Hey, thanks for the phone call. A good run there on your thoughts and, you know, on the Pettersson aspect and who his wingers are. I mean, it has been a revolving door, right? Like, you saw Hoglander and Carlson tonight, and I thought Hoglander had a pretty decent game for the most part, took the penalty, and, you know, somebody was said to me on social media, it's like, well, hey, you got to give Hoglander some love for taking the penalty because it led to the Pugh Suter shorthanded goal, right? So maybe a 3D, you know, like a 4D chess, 3D chess, sure. I don't know how you want to call it, type of move. But no, I thought Carlson kind of struggled with his pace tonight a little bit here and there. Who are his wingers on this team? I'm not sure who. Like, it's DeBrusk.
It's meant to be Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, but Jake DeBrusk, and we talked about this when the Canucks signed him. Like, I didn't I don't think of DeBrusque as like the prototypical Pedersen winger ideal, right? So to me, it was always like, okay, well, maybe he is for a while, but I'm not sure he's going to be the long-term answer. You still have to kind of find that. And as far as the question goes to who is his ideal winger and the fact that, you know, we're going to see him with some talented players for the four nations, which is a fair point, and we'll see how that all looks. But what do you think, what do you want to see alongside Elias Pedersen? To me, like, what I want to see is somebody who's a pretty high-volume shooter, but a player that thinks the game at a high level. I think that's the most important thing. Shoots the puck a lot and thinks at a high level.
And we're asking a lot there, right? Yes. Like, someone who's very clever and someone who is willing to shoot. But, yeah, like a high-volume shooter.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Just someone who can... And someone who plays off the puck really well. I don't need the close support player.
Find space.
Again, we have a very small sample size of Tyler Toffoli working well with Elias Pedersen.
Terrific.
But again, that 10-game sample is the one that still sticks in my mind of someone who knew how to play away from the puck, could be Johnny in a spot, puck on the stick, off the stick really quickly.
Yeah.
That's bare minimum all I'm looking for. And even when DeBrusque was signed, it's like, okay, it's a signing. But I don't know if that's the natural running mate you want.
It's a signing.
No, again, like, again, he's a real top six player.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a second line.
But
he was second line winger.
For me, again, I said it then, and I'm consistent with it. Like, that signing, to me, puts more pressure on Elias Pedersen because it's incumbent upon Pedersen to get him to 35 goals.
Yeah.
Jake DeBrusque is probably a natural 20-goal scorer.
That's what he's been.
Maybe he can hit 25 some years. But if he's going to get to 35, it's going to be because of what his center does. I know we talked a lot about, like, Jake Gensel. And like
he, to me, was, like, the ideal fit last offseason.
That prototype of player. But also, that player is also at a standard of, I can do things on my own. And I'm a 30-goal scorer, and my center can take me to a 40-goal scorer. And it might not seem like a big difference, but just the attention those types of players are going to draw away from and how two players can connect and work together changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
It's not even like Kuzmenko was this huge volume shooter, but he did it enough that season that Pedersen also had a very good season. You just need a smart player next to it.
Yeah, you really do, right? And that's kind of the way I see it as well. And who's that on the trade market, for instance? That's the more difficult thing to narrow down and actually figure out. And first things first, is he going to be a Canuck for you to find that winger long-term? And that's something that's obviously been a big topic of discussion in these parts. Let's go back to the phone boards and let's go to Newfoundland where we have Andrew on the line. Andrew, thanks for calling in, buddy. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 5-2 Canucks win in St. Louis?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm kind of glad I got in where I did because you guys are just talking about what I wanted to talk about. Elias Pedersen, like, I know he's kind of seen as the center and he can, you know, he can set up play for other people, but I wouldn't mind seeing Pedersen with someone that's going to set him up because, I mean, who in the league, there's not that many players in the league that have a better shot than Pedersen. I mean, do you guys remember his first couple of seasons with the team? I mean, on the power play, he was constantly being set up for those one-timers and he was just drilling them top shelf, like, every game. So I wouldn't mind seeing Pedersen with someone that can allow him to be a little bit more selfish, because I know when you put, say, someone like DeBrusque or Kuzmenko on a line with Pedersen, it's almost like he takes it upon himself, like you guys were saying, to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
When really, I mean, why can't we put him with someone that's going to make him better and make him shoot more? So that's kind of why I'm almost, you know, it's not ideal that he's playing with Hoglander and Carlson, but at the same time, I mean, he had 7 shots today. Maybe he kind of knows, listen, he's not playing with a who's who of wingers here, so maybe he takes it a little bit more upon himself. And in terms of the other Pedersen, Elias Pedersen, poor Desharnais. I mean, I don't really want to see much more of Desharnais. I know Pedersen is in more of a sheltered role.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Why not? Like, you know, the defensive core seems to be a little bit more stable with DPD. Meyer has played really well with Hughes, like he's been doing. And Hronek seems to be carrying a pair. So, I mean, why not? I mean, there's more upside to DPD than there is Desharnais. You know, I think between Carson Soucy, Tyler Myers, and Nils Hoglander, we have enough guys to take you know, clumsy penalties. So I'd say we run with DPD for now. And of course, you know, Desharnais is always there in case anything happens. But in typical Vancouver Canucks fashion, I'm very much so back on the bandwagon after 2 back-to-back wins. Let's go, boys.
Hey, you got it, Andrew. Thanks for the phone call, man. Call back anytime. Andrew's great. And, you know, that's what it is to be a fan, right? You're meant to enjoy watching the sport, and you're meant to have fun and get going, right? And it doesn't take much. A couple wins in a row and fans get excited again. So I don't fault Andrew for that at all. And he makes a good point. Like, hey, you want Pettersson to shoot more. That's what he did tonight. And maybe getting somebody – honestly, like, it's – find an elite player. They usually figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes we overcomplicate. Hey, find this, have this, have that. It's just find somebody who plays at a high level, like super high level, and those guys can usually figure it out. And on the Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, a lot of praise. You know, we got the previous caller as well, who from Kevin in Port Moody, mm-hmm. giving a lot of praise to Elias Pettersson and how he played. He's steady, and he was steady tonight. And I think having the size and the ability to move the puck and not being afraid, and maybe it's enthusiasm, but he doesn't look like somebody who's afraid of the moment. And I think those things matter for players of that age.
Just got to keep stacking them, right? I thought the last game was better than this one, but just keep on stacking games and see how that confidence grows.
Yeah, for sure. Canadian Hustler on X says, you guys are describing Lekkomäki with your ideal Pettersson wingers. He has the traits, at least, after he puts on a few pounds. And, you know, it certainly is, right? It's more about when is he going to be ready. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We have the Canucks head coach's thoughts, Rick Tocchet. That's on the other side. We'll hear from Patrick Alvin, plus a lot more from you as well, after a 5-2 Canucks victory over the Blues on the road. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. More next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Elias Pettersson, bottom of the right circle. Stutter step and a pass to JT Miller. Back to Hughes, top of the point, looking for a shooting lane. Goes to Miller, into the slot. Besser rips it right to the goal. Binnington made the save, but it rolls in. They score. It was loose behind the St. Louis netminder, and Connor Garland was there to knock it into the net. His second of the game gives the Canucks a 2-0 lead.
A composed power play by the Vancouver Canucks. They set up shop on the zone entry, and then they find confidence in their puck movement. Elias Pettersson and JT Miller going back and forth as the puck eventually works its way to Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, and then a good feed to the middle of the ice of Brock Besser, and he just lets a shot go through. It goes through Jordan Binnington. He can't squeeze the puck with his stick. Goes through his legs. And Connor Garland, all by himself, just waiting for the rebound as the puck squirts through, and Garland makes it 2-0. Like the confidence there, Batch, of the power play to not rush any decisions, play at a medium speed there, and they get the job done.
Canucks play with pace, beat the Blues 5-2 on a road, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650, and the phone board's coming up in a bit. We are going to get to Patrick Alvin's thoughts as well, who joined the Amazon Prime broadcast. But let's get to the Canucks head coach first. Here is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown.
Well, Rick, a big win tonight, especially considering where both teams sit in the standings. What did you see from your team that you liked?
Yeah, big game. It's a four-point game. You know, it's, we're both going for playoff spots. Obviously, a good start. You know, the power play was good, getting that goal for us. I thought we started on time. So the first period obviously kind of set us up for the game. It was a nice win for us.
Connor Garland, of course, grabbing two goals on the night. What have you seen from him in terms of determination and just where that fight comes from?
No, that's all year for Gars. You know, that's the type of player he is. Even when things are bad, good times or bad times, he tries to be consistent. You know, Gars is a consistent hockey player. That's what we're looking for. And he drags people in the fight.
You talked about the hole it left when Tyler Myers was out of the game. So how big was it to have him back tonight?
I thought Myzy was one of the best players on the ice. I thought he was terrific tonight for us. When he's out, you know, you really miss a guy like that. His breakouts were great. I thought he was excellent. In those 3 days, three games he was off, he worked really hard. So he didn't miss a beat. So I'm really proud of Myzy.
We've also talked all year long just about how good Kevin Lankinen is, but have picked up an assist tonight. Is that just an extra tap on the back?
Yeah, I didn't notice that till later, but yeah, no, he's obviously given us a great start against Washington. Obviously tonight, he's pretty solid for us right now.
In the first period on the goaltender interference call, how confident were you that the call was going to stand, and then how important was the momentum you were generating on the ensuing power play?
When originally the first hut, I figured, oh, you know, maybe there. At first, when I saw it, the way they call it because of the path and all that stuff. So, and then our video guy said, no, it will stand. That is no goal. So, he's pretty good. Dylan's really good at that. So when he told us that in the earpiece, we're pretty confident.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. From vision to reality, Tile Town has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And, you know, he mentioned on the goal, and he was pretty confident that it be because their video coach said that he didn't think it was going to stand. And we were watching in real time, and my initial reaction very much, and I think yours was too, it was going to be no goal. Mm-hmm. Like Holloway went into the crease.
On his own.
Quinn did push him, but he was already on a path to make contact with Lankinen. And when you're in the crease and a defender's trying to defend against you and you end up in the goalie's way, it still falls on you ultimately. And so I didn't think for a moment really, I didn't seriously think it was going to be overturned. I was surprised that Jim Montgomery challenged it, and that was a big swing for the Canucks because they challenged and they scored again.
I do guess if you're in Jim Montgomery's shoes, it's like this is a game you have to win,
I guess,
right? Like
so.
You're against a team that's right above you.
For sure.
If you lose now, which they obviously did, they are now 4 points back with two extra games played, right? Do you look at that with like, hey, we just put the puck in?
Yeah, I get it. It was 2-0, right, at that point?
Well, it was 1-0. It was to tie the game, but then they give up the goal to go down 2. So again, it's high leverage.
Right.
But yeah. I just wonder, it's like, you pull out all the stops in this game because they desperately needed this game.
I understand that. I just didn't think it was a good chance of being overturned. That's how I felt
agree.
About it.
I agree.
So I was kind of with the Canucks head coach on it. And obviously full of praise for Tyler Myers. He said he was proud of him, worked really hard during the three days out. He was terrific. He was one of the best players on the ice tonight and ends up being the third star in the evening. Not unfair at all. And that's kind of the first player we talked about coming into the postgame show after the win. And talked about Garland dragging people into the fight. You know how I feel about somebody having to drag you into the fight, but it's true.
Sure. Yeah.
Like Garland tonight, right out of the gate, was on it, and he scored the first goal, got the second goal, forechecking, and he was just outstanding defensively tonight too.
Yeah, I just want to cycle back to Myers here too, but like there were moments where you've seen Myers kind of like do the extra thing,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, what is this going to lead to? But I thought tonight, like when he made the extra move to like reverse course against the pressure, just made the right play every single time, whether it was skating out of the zone. And sometimes it just led to a chip in, but it was doing the extra thing that led to something successful. And even behind his own net, reverse course, just subtle, soft play. And I think it probably helps when everyone's diverting their eyes to Quinn Hughes and now you can find the right pass to get out of the zone. But just solid and calm throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, 100%. I don't disagree with you on that. Did you have something on Garland too?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned just, like, active on the forecheck, and I do think it was, like, the symptom throughout the course of the evening that they constantly were able to turn the first play for Blues defenders back the other way.
Yeah.
And then you just saw that forecheck, and I thought Garland was among the best on it. PDG and Sasson did it. Eventually, it led to the first goal of the game, but you just saw it all night that they were crisp on the forecheck, and Garland always brings the effort there.
Yeah, they certainly did, and we'll get into more of it on the other side. We'll hear from Patrick Alvin on the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. More next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show
on the official home of the Canucks,
Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks still on the penalty kill. Blues win the draw. Cam Fowler left point. Goes right side. One-timer for Bolduc. Rebound chance in the slot. What a save by Kevin Lankinen. He absolutely robbed Nathan Walker all alone in the middle of the ice. And it's still 4-1 Canucks.
Yeah, I didn't notice that till later. But, yeah, no, he's obviously given us a great start against Washington. Obviously, tonight he's pretty solid for us right now.
Canucks win 5-2 on the road in St. Louis against the Blues, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650, and we'll get to more of your thoughts here as the show goes on. And we will try to squeeze in a phone call coming up in a little bit as well. And we'll get to Patrick Alvin, plus Ian McIntyre, a lot to jam in. And obviously the game ran a bit late, so the clock working against us to some degree here tonight. And, you know, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, some of the key contributors to this game here tonight. Tyler Myers, Connor Garland, of course, and, you know, we even spoke about Pedersen. JT Miller scoring the goal and had the fight with Braden Schenn. Not much of a fight. Braden Schenn got a nice clean shot in on JT, though, and goes down. Went to the box, left the game briefly, but did return, and terrific goal. And that's what I wanted to get to here, Bik. Let's break down the goals, and I want to talk about Quinn Hughes because he's the guy that gets the Canucks going yet again. And, you know, I think it was Will from Nanaimo who texted in earlier and said Quinn didn't have to be the best defenseman nor the best forward tonight. Mm-hmm. But on the first play, he was great on defense and great on offense and helped the Canucks go up 1-0.
Yeah, he disrupts Brandon Saad in the offensive zone or the Canucks defensive zone and breaks up the play. And, you know, Jake DeBrusk makes a nice play here too, forcing the puck out. And then Hughes knocks it around Matthew Joseph. And then it's just a 2-on-1. And you know Quinn Hughes can make a good pass, but when the degree of difficulty is torqued up as well, how does he make this play? And and Ryan Suter, like, slides early on this 2-on-1. And so Quinn's got a lot of time to diagnose and recognize and just shows patience. And then the precision on the pass, it goes under Ryan Suter's skates, who's lying face down, so his toes are against the ice. But there's that little space because his toes are on the ice rather than flat, that you can sneak a puck through.
It's like threading a needle.
And he does it perfectly. And it's unbelievable by Quinn Hughes to get this. And again, the puck is basically like scraping the tongues of the skate and the laces. And it just goes right through.
There's not enough space. You know what it's almost like? It's like, remember the Fast and Furious when the cars go in between the semi-trailers?
Great reference!
Like,
that's
kind of the way it was. Like, the pass that I went in. It was terrific. Just
and it's,
barely
and
made
it's
it through.
Quinn Hughes passing to Garland. So family. Family. They're doing it.
That's good. All right. And those guys also part of the Canucks making it 2-0. And it is on the power play, right? And you know, the Canucks have done a terrific job on the power play. Like, the thing they can do well is when they get into motion and they start playing off of each other. And that's how this goal comes about. Like, it's, you know, we talked about this during the intermission, but it looked so seamless and in unison. It's almost like a gear working. It's like, when you guys are capable of moving the puck like that and rotating together this way, you guys should be a lot more deadly than you have been. And it certainly was. And Garland making it 2-0.
Yeah, and we mentioned as we're going to break, Garland, you know, the way he forechecked this evening and a lot of players, that's where this goal starts. It's a bad pass on the entry, but Pedersen and Garland are both quick on Parayko, who has to go up the wall. And then Hughes and Miller do a great job negotiating the play right at the corner of the boards in the blue line. Fax is pressuring him. They work it around, and it goes to Pedersen low. He sends it back up top, and then that's when that rotation starts. And you watch this. Quinn sends a pass from the top to the right boards. And as it passes, Brock rotates out from the bumper into the spot, like essentially where the pass just came from. And so Miller sends it right back. And in that time, Pedersen, you know, credit to him, like sneaks in behind Parayko uncontested in front of the net. And as Brock takes this shot, Pedersen gets a tip basically right on top of the glove of Binnington and sneaks through the pads down below. And Garland's there to sweep it in before a couple of Blues can converge on him.
Yeah, it looked awkward for the puck to just kind of dribble between Binnington's legs. Yeah. The only way he could is through a tip where Pettersson's shot ends up hitting the ice and trickling through, and Garland does the rest and puts it home. But just great movement on the Canucks power play. And they keep things going, Bick, and this ends up in the second period when they were already up 2-0. And they make it 3-0, and this is also on the power play, but off a bit of a rush opportunity and something the Blues did on this play, something we've seen from the Canucks at times, from really bad line changes, and a horrible PK line change leads to a JT Miller breakaway.
Yeah, second period, long change, obviously, in this spot, but yeah, it's a dreadful line change. I imagine if you're Jim Montgomery in this spot, like, again, this is a game that they really needed, so you want all this attention to detail, and this is not one that's very good. And so Lankanen knocks it to Quinn Hughes. I'm curious if there's any communication here, like, go, because Miller recognizes the moment, and Hughes finds him, hits him, and it's just JT Miller. As we see him often, he takes that early kind of at the high hash slot and just beats Binnington short side, and that was the end of Jordan Binnington's night.
Yeah, and it was a great shot by JT. Got a lot of flex on that shot, too. It was a really great release, and that makes it 3-0, and was the game-winning goal, ultimately, for JT Miller. The Blues come back to make it 3-1 on the power play after Tyler Myers took down Dylan Holloway. Maybe the only real error Myers made on the evening, maybe a little bit of bad luck on the penalty. Nonetheless, Dylan Holloway draws the penalty and ends up scoring the goal on a pretty nice one-timer. And we talked about the PK, maybe Carson Soucy on that play, maybe close out on Holloway a little bit. They seem
Close out, because all the other three guys were taken. That's the only responsibility there. But if you're not going to close out, then take the inside post on the shooting lane.
At least get in the way.
He's just stationary the whole time, so he doesn't close out, and then he's kind of taking away the outside post. And so as that pass goes across to Dylan Holloway, who cranks a 92-mile-an-hour slap shot, it's Lankanen that has to go post to post to make this save, rather than, well, Soucy's taking away the shooting lane, or the inside shooting lane. I can work the outside shooting lane. I'm still going to be going across, but now the shooter has to go to where I'm coming from rather than where I still need to go. And so, you know, that for me, like, a small detail leads to a goal.
Yeah, and, you know, we mentioned Myers taking a penalty. Well, Myers on the PK after Nils Höglander takes a double minor for high-sticking Robert Thomas in the Canucks defensive zone. And careless penalty by Höglander, you know, just waving his stick around. It didn't mean to do it, but, again, you got to be in control of your stick, and ends up hitting Thomas and gets a four-minute minor. And Tyler Myers makes a nice defensive play. And listen, I choose to believe that he made a no-look blind backhand pass to Pugh Suter, who gets it, goes, and finishes it off to make it 4-1, beating Hoffer, who was replacing Jordan Binnington after JT Miller chased him from the game.
Yeah, like, Dylan Holloway, player with a lot of speed, puck comes wide, and he's going to take Myers on one-on-one, and Myers just tracks it perfectly and just, you know, breaks up the play at the blue line. And again, I think he's doing the right thing of just, like, getting it out of the zone.
But it's like a perfectly weighted pass to Pugh Suter.
Perfectly weighted. Backhand, no-look pass into the middle of the ice. And Suter takes it in stride as Braden Shen, who's exhausted, is like, I got to chase this guy down now. Like, Braden Shen's just sliding, hoping he can do anything to disrupt Suter. And then Suter goes glove high on Joel Hofer.
Yeah, and that made it 4-1, and Tyler Myers features again. He scored the Canucks' fifth goal, and that was after the St. Louis Blues had made it 5-2 after a goal from 4-2 by Colton Parayko, and Myers made it 5-2 with the empty net goal. And that concludes the scoring summary for the game. Do you want to break down the Parayko goal? Okay, because you didn't like the Parayko. Okay,
There's multiple things on this play.
Okay, yeah, you're right, because Elias Pettersson and Elias Pettersson both feature on it.
Well, even on the entry, it's just like slid in on Kevin Lankanen.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of puts it in the worst possible spot because it's too far away from Soucy. Pettersson's not going to go track the forechecker in this. Elias Pettersson's not going to track the forechecker. And so the forechecker just basically just like skates right into it. Now Soucy's got to recover. Again, but even that being said, all five guys are back. You can close this down. Elias Pettersson takes a pass from Elias Pettersson and has a chance to get the puck out, doesn't, gets closed on. And then even on the board battle, it's Joseph who gets out of the board battle, and Pettersson can do a lot better on this play here. And as Joseph's trying to get away from traffic, he goes to the top, Parayko creeps down behind Heinen, so unaware of his D-man's kind of creeping low. And Parayko just sends a backhand into the front of the net and goes off Elias Pettersson and in. But this is eerily similar to the one against Seattle, what went off Noah Juulsen and in. And you remember talk there, like, if you just box the guy out.
Yeah, box the guy.
Like, that gets taken care of. And Elias Pettersson, like, there's no one to take. So he just essentially, like, backing up into negative space. And eventually there's a guy who comes in late. But if you just find a body early or get out of the way, that gets taken care of. But again, player in the second game, these are details that are going to get illuminated to him as it goes through. But it was very similar to me, just the conclusion of this goal to what the goal against Noah Juulsen against Seattle was.
Yeah, a bit too close to the goaltender if you're going to be there, box the guy out, and if not, have a bit more space, right?
Parayko knows what he's doing in that spot, exactly. Right? He's like, oh,
he sees a body, throw it off, see what happens, right? And that's why you can't give somebody that object to throw at. A good breakdown as always. Canucks win 5-2 over the Blues. Now, we are going to get to Ian McIntyre in a few minutes, but we mentioned Patrick Alvin. He was on the Amazon Prime broadcast, and here he is talking about the latest with his hockey team.
All right, well, let's talk about Quinn Hughes, because he's involved in every offensive opportunity, it seems, for your team. What does he mean for the Vancouver Canucks in your squad?
Well, he's a big leader for us, and obviously one of the better defensemen in the league here. Very dynamic, puck-moving, really good on the power play, and he just continued to impress and improve every day.
Yeah, I noticed his defensive skills. You can see he's obviously always been highly touted offensively, but his defensive game has vastly improved. Stick, using his body a little bit more. Early in his career, he's a little hesitant to go back and get the pucks. Now you're seeing him get back, understanding his body position, how to take hits, how to understand that side of the game. It's vastly improved.
Yeah, I agree. I think Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar worked a lot with him, and he's so... I mean, he craves to coaching and wants to get better every day. And I think as a team gets better, he's a big force of us getting better, too. So,
previous game of Canucks were on Amazon Prime, Patrick. JT Miller had 4 points. So far tonight looks good. I think you have to have more Canucks here on Amazon Prime. That's the key right now. I talked to Oshrick talking about JT Miller. He said, it's not a lack of effort. He's just been a little bit snake bit. He still really believes in him as a big part of your team.
Oh, absolutely. I said to Chris here, I like the response from JT early on with Shannon there. Big goal for him, and he plays hard for us. He's a hard guy in the league, old school guy like yourself. They're hard to play against, and he's a big part of our team.
Well, certainly this team has not had as much success as you had a year ago. Trade deadline's March 7th. What are the odds you make a major move before here and then?
Well,
we won't hold you to it.
Well, you know, I wouldn't comment on any rumors around there, but definitely we're getting players back here healthy. As all the teams go through the adversity and with a condensed schedule, it's hard to see really what the team is, but I think the way we can play where we played our best, it's definitely encouraging to see. So we'll see if there is anything that makes sense for us here over the next couple of weeks.
And obviously having Thatcher Demko back in the void, I know Lankin's playing tonight, but how important is it to have both goalies healthy for your team down the stretch?
Oh, absolutely. We know Thatcher is a top quality goalie in the league, and he was really good last year. He's working so hard to come back in the game shape that we all know that he can play, and very fortunate to have Kevin Lankin in here as well.
And Elias Pettersson is a guy, obviously, Patrick, you know how talented he is, hasn't had the scoring touch this year. What do you think would be the key to getting him going again?
I think the coaches are working with him, and I think Elias starting to move his feet more, be more involved, holding on to pucks. I think the game is so fast now, especially through the middle. You need speed, and when he utilizes speed and his hockey sense, he's an elite player in the league.
And as far as the game tonight, again, the Canucks are looking great. What was your reaction when JT Miller dropped the gloves of Braden Schenn?
I am happy for him. He responded to a challenge, and I think he set the tone here for the rest of the group here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You never
made
know. Sure everybody knew he was ready.
Oh, absolutely. You want to go? I will go.
That is Canucks General Manager Patrick Alvin speaking to the Amazon Prime broadcast. Happy with JT Miller's performance tonight. And to break this game down more, to close this thing out, we go to our triple threat. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
You know, I was reminded tonight when the St. Louis Blues changed goalies,
that when you bring in the closer in baseball, it's far more encouraging than when you bring in the reliever in hockey.
Yes, that is very true. It's a lot different, isn't it? A lot different mood.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, it was good for the Canucks. I don't think Jordan Billing, excuse me, I don't think Jordan Binnington, Craig Billington was another goalie a long time ago. I don't think Jordan Binnington was the problem, but the goalie change was representative of the Blues' problems in dealing with the Canucks tonight. I thought that was really an outstanding first half of the game for Vancouver. We've seen them behind 3-0 so often, it seems almost every other game lately. So, you know, good for them for building that lead and earning it. I think the shots were 18-8 when Miller made it 3-0. And, of course, the key sequence of events after that, after Hoglander got careless with his stick and put St. Louis right back on the power play after they just made it 3-1. That seemed like it could be a momentum changer in the game. But, you know, Pugh Suter with his first goal since Black and White was terrific. And that was the game, that shorthanded goal in 4-1. I didn't think the Canucks were threatened after that, even though it got to 4-2. I thought it was a really good road performance, and it's amazing how much more composure they seem to have in their own end with Tyler Myers back.
Yeah, it's a question I pitched to Randeep here too. Just like they disperse the wealth of talent on the blue line, and obviously Myers' reintroduction helps with that. Is that something you want to see moving forward as well?
You mean having Roenick and Hughes on different pairs? I'd like to see it as long as it works, but so far they haven't proven really that this will work. I mean, Myers has shown that he can play with good players, and Quinn has shown that he can still be all world even when he's without Roenick. But, you know, Roenick has to show that he can carry his own pairing, because he didn't do that before he was hurt, and he's been spotty, Roenick has, since he got back. And I think we all need to understand that absences, you know, however long a player's out, sometimes you got to factor in that length of time it might take for a player to get back on top of his game. Now, it's not going to take Roenick 2 months, and he was out, you know, 7 weeks, but it hasn't been a smooth return for him. I thought he was good tonight. Ultimately, I think you're going to see them back together because they're just so good together. But for sure, you know, on a team where the performance curve looks like the outline of a cliff once you get past the first two, if you can have them on different pairs, that is a good thing for the team. But I think we're probably going to see them back together sometime soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised seeing that either. And I think you'd have a lot more confidence if Tyler Myers can string together some games like the one he had tonight, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and it's Tyler, it's a funny market sometimes. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Yeah.
There always seems to be somebody.
There's always a whipping boy.
Yes, there's always somebody who is kind of criticized for sport, for fun, which I've never gotten. Sometimes the snarkiness or the spitefulness it can be a bit much. And, you know, for sure, Tyler makes mistakes. And when you're 6'8", you can't hide anywhere, right? I mean, Erik Brännström can hide. People don't notice the mistakes he makes as much as you notice when Tyler Myers makes a mistake. But he has shown since Rick Tocchet got here that he's not only capable of still playing, he's actually a pretty solid middle of the lineup type of defenseman. So yes, he helps as long as, you know, he's within that structure and isn't trying to do too much. And I agreed with Tocchet. I thought that he was excellent in that game. Just his composure with the puck, the little plays he made, all the good plays he made with his stick, including you know, stripping it from Holloway ahead of the Suter goal. So Myers was good, but they need more, right? Carson Soucy has been one of the biggest strugglers of this season. There's been a lot of them.
And at times it looks like he's kind of getting his game together. I think having him on the third pair and not having to do quite as much is good for him. Hopefully Derek Forbord can continue to build and get in a rhythm. He's a guy who obviously missed a lot of time as well. He's been back for a while yet now, but still seems to be trying to build that consistency into his game. And we'll see how DPD does. You know, he's playing so little and his minutes are so sheltered. It's really hard to get a read. I know everyone's so excited every time, you know, a guy who is considered one of the better prospects in the organization, everyone's so excited when they get to see him at the NHL level. And, you know, sometimes they're just not ready. And I don't know whether he's ready or not, but he certainly hasn't looked overwhelmed, but he is playing such low minutes. You really can't make any judgment. He had a bad moment in the third period where he tried to turn his own zone and lost the puck. And there was a scoring chance for St. Louis, but you know, there's a lot there to like, as far as building a player. I just don't think they're there yet with him. And I still believe that at some point there'll be another defenseman coming into the organization before the trade deadline. And maybe that will help as well. But if you can get the guys they have just playing to their abilities, it's a more than passable defense. And in fact, it's a lot better than passable, because you have the best player in the world right now leading it.
So moving forward here, again, we haven't had a chance to talk about back-to-back wins since December 1st. Suddenly, I don't know what word you want to use, like clarity is provided somewhat here. Like it does feel like the pressure just kind of just feels a little bit less. Again, it still might be at a 8.7, but it started the day at 9.
Trades are off.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a certain surrealness about it too, because you look at tonight's game and JT Miller was good, and Pettersson, the original one, was good as well. Even though Ilias didn't, you know, get a point. 7 shots on net. I thought he was good defensively.
He did get a point. They corrected the score on the Garland goal. He got the assist instead of Miller.
Okay. Well, there, I'm going to have to make a revision in my story, because in the score sheet that I printed out, he wasn't on there. But I thought he was good. And so you think about this team and all the struggles they've had and all the drama. If those two guys, just those two, had played, you know, better and more consistently, how much less of this drama would there have been? And yet now I think we're to the point, even if they do play well, maybe the drama doesn't get the amplification that it has when the team is losing, but it's still going to be there, because I think the team, you know, they've made some decisions about what they're willing to do moving forward with those players. So whether they get traded or not in this next little bit here, it's just hard to sort of envision that there's a complete U-turn and that everything ends up happily ever after for this group. But, you know, they were good tonight. The team was good. It just makes, and I agree, it sort of deflates the tension a little bit. But, you know, with where this team is living right now, one bad game and all that drama and tension is back. So we'll see. It's nice for a change that they've got 2 wins in a row. They have strung together 2 performances in a row. They just haven't won 2 games in a row until now. But, you know, they're obviously still fervently in the belief that they can be a playoff team. So it's going to take a lot more than just, you know, 2 wins at some point. You're going to have to string together a bunch of games. You're going to have to play well for a month or 2 months, not just 2 games or a week. But they've done this. It's 2 games in a row, and they were different, quite different opponents, different venues, travel, and a bit of a surprise practice in between. I don't think anybody thought the Canucks Talkett would have his players on the ice in Vancouver on Sunday, but they were certainly ready to go tonight. And now we'll see how they do in Nashville. per chance to count to three.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's ultimately what it's going to come down to, right? It's great that you won two. And the encouraging part is both the games, they played to their staples and identity and did a lot of good things. And their guys got scoring and no real passengers, got some saves. So a lot of good landmarks to build on. But it ultimately comes down to, can they replicate this on Wednesday in Nashville?
Yeah, it does come. And then the Friday in Dallas, one of the quietly encouraging signs tonight, you know, Garland gets a couple of goals, hadn't scored in a while. Miller got his first in 10. Suter gets his first. This team, without getting much attention for it, has been one of the best in the league at team defense for a while now. Like since you know, they kind of dumbed down, for lack of a better term, their system and what they're trying to do. And they got back to this kind of defense first mentality. They really and yes, there's better games and worse games, but on the whole, they've given up fewer shots than any other team and also not given up a ton of scoring chances. But they just haven't scored enough to make that, take advantage of that. And maybe they can't score. Maybe playing that way, and I know this is the criticism of Tocchet and the style that they're playing, that if they're focused that much on defending, maybe they just can't score. They won't be able to score enough. But there's still a lot of talent there. And if they can just start to get the offense going consistently, they could win a lot more games than two in a row. As long as they keep playing the team, the 200-foot game that they've been playing and taking advantage of their chances, and you get the power play going maybe a little more consistently, this team can still has a chance to go on a roll. But I know that's a lot of things that have to be aligned. And the biggest problem with the inconsistency for the team has just been the inconsistency of key individuals, starting with Miller and Pettersson. So if those guys if they're able to stack some games, and we know that they've been right in the center of this tempest, and it's been affecting both of them, I think on a human level, you have to acknowledge that this is a really difficult thing for them to be going through. You know, whether you think it's fair or not, that's not the question. But, you know, as people, and in the case of Miller, you know, a husband and father and a family, these are trying things to deal with when your name is constantly out there. But if those two guys can find a way to manage that noise and get back to being consistently good players, then that will help this team immensely be a consistently good team again.
Absolutely will. And hopefully we see that on Wednesday, and we look forward to chatting with you on Wednesday, Ian, hopefully after another Canucks victory. And I also look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca as well.
Yeah, I'm getting rewrite on the phone. And, you know, in the old days, we'd have to stop the press.
Right.
And, you know, put up a new edition of the paper to get that Elias Pettersson assist in. But I'll make sure I get it in my story.
Yeah.
And I know that you'll be reading it after you get home.
We always do. I always do, Ian. Never miss an article.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks for
your time. Well, talk to you on Wednesday.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. That is Ian McIntyre, and as always, check him out on sportsnet.ca. Bick, that brings us to the end of the show. What do you have going on the People Show tomorrow?
Yannick Hansen tomorrow.
Oh, Yannick.
On Tuesday.
Curious to hear what Yannick has to say. I know he wants
two
to see more.
Two-game winning streak.
Wow.
You huge. Know.
Proven that it can be done in 2025. Yep. Hadn't seen it yet. Thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory, our producer, holding it down as always. Thank you all for listening, participating, and being part of the show as always. We really enjoy doing this, and it's always fun chatting and being part of it with you guys as well. So we look forward to doing the same thing coming up on Wednesday when the Canucks take on the Preds. I'm back on Canuck Central with Dan Riccio tomorrow. We have Don Taylor. We're doing Overrated Underrated on a Tuesday because it's an early game day on a Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.